Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is the phone number. Kyle Quinn is behind the glass. You guys on the phones as we react to the Phillies going down 0-2 in the best of five last night at Citizens Bank Park. That sucked. I mean, I don't want to tell you. That sucked last night in every single way. Good morning, Hugh, as the Phillies are on the brink of elimination.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Right, listen. I know y'all ain't trying to hear what I got to say this morning.
Nope.
I know y'all ain't trying to hear what I got to say this morning. Y'all going to call me some mean and hurtful names. I know y'all probably going to call me some mean and hurtful names in the You People chat. But the fact of the matter remains we got one more try at this. We got one more crack at this, man. We got one more crack.
That's wonderful, Hugh.
We do. Mm-hmm. It's the truth. I know it don't feel good. And I know people are probably throwing darts. If they had pictures of me, they're probably throwing darts at it right now. But it's the truth.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. Jacksonville won last night.
I don't care.
I just want to say.
No, I don't care.
I called like Kansas City.
I don't care. Hugh.
I don't give a shit.
Listen, I might need it tomorrow. Today,
I know it feels bad, man. We got one more crack at this, though.
And I got to pick apart what the hell happened last night. Welcome in. Yeah. We got a lot to discuss. 215-592-9494. Dodgers 4, Phillies 3. In a weird way, and you are right, the series is obviously not over. It just feels over this morning.
It's a bad, listen, man, I'm not about to sit here and, like my coach used to say in high school, blow smoke up your glutes.
You kind of did that for the first minute.
I didn't.
Kinda
but
did.
You got one more crack at this.
Yeah, but they do. And tomorrow will be a day to kind of look ahead to game 3. Today I got to react to last night because that's an all-time bad one. And it felt like an era-defining loss for the Phillies last night. And there's a lot of blame to go around. Look, there was some good early. I thought Luzardo, we all had confidence yesterday in this show in Luzardo, and he shoved. He was awesome. He was everything you'd hope he'd be. The seventh inning rolls around. It goes bad. We'll talk about why. They go down 4-0. And I got to tell you, I just wrote the game off. 4-0. I said, it's over. And I kind of started just accepting the reality of where we were. But then they fought. And they came back in the ninth inning. And it led to a crushing ending to that game. And there's a lot of blame to go around. We got to go through the blame here. And I want to get to the stars because they stunk last night. And they stunk in the first two games. But what time was that? 9:30 last night? I have not stopped thinking about the bunt since 9:30. I haven't stopped thinking about it. It was, and I don't say this lightly, it was the worst decision of Rob Thompson's career. It was worse than what happened to Houston in 2022 when he pulled Wheeler for Alvarado. That was indefensible. That was one of the worst managerial decisions I have ever seen in a big moment. There is no defense for that bunt. It made no sense in any shape, way, or form. You have the slowest runner on the team on second base. You have a lefty reliever in who has walk issues. He walks batters. There are no outs in that inning. You have the Dodgers on the ropes. That is a scenario to go for the kill, to take momentum back in the series. And Rob Thompson chose to give them a free out. That was the ultimate get-out-of-jail-free card. It was unbelievable what I watched in the ninth inning last night. Rob Thompson, I don't know, and right now I don't believe he's going to be the manager of this baseball team a week from now. And last night was the nail in the coffin. He lost me. Rob Thompson lost me forever last night with that bunt attempt. That was a joke of a decision. It made no sense, and you played right into the Dodgers' hands. Any momentum we had, we gave it right back. So there's the bunt to attack, which I cannot believe is a reality today. Then there's the Stars, Hugh Douglas, and you've been on them the whole time, and you're right. They are 2-for-21 in this series. And everyone knows who I mean by the Stars. Turner, Harper, and Schwarber. 2-for-21 with 11 strikeouts and zero extra base hits. And then there's the defense. And all season long, and really for years, we have said this team's not a good defensive team. And we're like, maybe it won't matter. It always matters. It always matters. You have Nick Castellanos who's in right field, cannot move. He's got lead in his shoes. And the Freddie Freeman hit should have been a single, became a double. And then the ball's hit to Trey Turner. And I have watched that play like 40 times since last night. Trey Turner has to make a better throw there. He has to. And it was like such a huge difference to me. Then in the ninth inning, Mookie Betts, who just learned how to play shortstop in the last year, called for the wheel play and they executed it. Their shortstop called for the wheel play and executed. Our shortstop couldn't throw Teoscar Hernandez out with the ball in his hands, and Teoscar was 40 feet from home plate. Terrible defense by Turner, terrible managing by Topper, and the Stars have been just completely invisible. Hugh, your reaction as the Phillies are down 0-2.
You know, it's funny. I think Al says something about the shortstop play.
Yeah.
In the middle of the field play. Yeah.
Theirs is better.
Yeah, and he was talking about that's going to be the key to this game. Shout out to Al Morgani, because when you said that, it triggered something that I remembered. Stars got a hit, Joe. I know we like to talk about the managerial decisions and all that other stuff, but we wasted a great inning effort by Luzardo.
Yes.
You're talking about retired, like he went seven innings and retired 17 hitters. He retired that, and you look at that and you're like, what are we doing? Like, he went in the history books last night.
He was awesome.
The only cat that did it more than him for the Phillies was Roy Halladay. So you look at that outing that you had, and I think I saw Rhea had a tweet and she said, man, he needs more help. And she was talking about the pitcher. You need to give him help, man. That game should have not been what it was, and it shouldn't have came down to those moments that you're talking about, because the bottom line is this. Every postseason, it's the same old, same old.
It feels like Groundhog Day, doesn't it?
It's the same old, same old. And you talk about, you know, Bedlam at the Bank, that's old. You know, with all due respect, like, that was a moment that I wasn't even here for. And it's time to figure it out. You got to figure it out. You got one more game. You got one more game, and you have to figure it out. Your big dog's got to hunt. Your big dog's got to hunt, man. And that's been the problem, ultimately. You talk about between the three of them, Bryce, Trey, and who?
Schwarber.
Schwarber.
Yeah.
One hit.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
One hit. So you got your big dog's got to hunt, man.
Yeah, and look, they're all to blame in different ways. Trey actually got on base twice last night, got the rally started in the eighth, so he hit a little bit last night. He got on base twice. He obviously grounded out to end the game. Trey's defense was the problem last night. And I know all year was, see, he's better at shortstop. And I said to everyone all year, every time someone said to me he's better at shortstop, I said, do you want the ball hit to him in the biggest moment? And no one with a straight face could say yes, and last night is why. Trey Turner is an athlete. His athleticism has got him by for 10 years. He's not a fundamentally sound shortstop. And it cost them last night. They obviously are not hitting enough at the top. And I just, Hugh, you're right that it probably shouldn't have to come down to a managerial decision on a sack bunt in the ninth inning. I know that. And if the Stars were better, perhaps it doesn't. It's just indefensible. It's one of the worst managerial decisions I've ever seen. The Dodgers were reeling. Like, they were about to blow that game up 4-0. And they let him off the hook. And the worst part, we're going to let you hear from Topper here and Dave Roberts. The worst part, as I was watching all of the postgame stuff, Hugh, the Dodgers wanted him to bunt. They were ready for it. They wanted it. They played right into their hands and gave them a get-out-of-jail-free card. Let's hear Topper after the game on the decision to bunt.
Rob, what went into the decision to have Bryson stop bunt there as opposed to swinging?
Just left on left for trying to tie the score. I liked where our bullpen was at based on as compared to theirs. So we played for the tie at home.
It seemed like the Dodgers were expecting it. Was there any thought of taking it off after?
Well, Mookie did a great job of disguising the wheel play. And we teach our guys that if you see wheel, just go ahead, pull it back and slash, because you've got all kinds of room in the middle. But he Mookie broke so late that it was tough for Stoddy to pick it up.
Did you feel the limitations of your roster not being able to pinch run for Castellanos there?
Well, I mean, it is what it is, so couldn't do much about it. You know, I thought Stoddy laid down a good bunt, but, you know, it's the way it is. You know, we knew that we were going to probably pinch it with Bader. We needed to have Willie there. Plus, if you pinch run Willie for Castellanos and then Bader hits, you have no one to run for him, and you don't have another outfielder. So, kind of hands were tied.
Yeah,
is there any thought with? It seemed like you had a little bit of momentum there after not playing for the tie, or that didn't really enter the equation.
No, I want to play for the tie because I like where our bullpen was compared to theirs.
I'm sorry, I started cutting him off. He lost me last night. He wants to play for the tie because of our bullpen. Like, does he hear himself speak? Duran already was used last night. Robertson is coming in the game next. Play for the tie? How about we go for the kill? Also, I just want to point out to everyone, like, what's the best case scenario there? The bunt gets down. Castellanos is safe at third. He's the slowest runner on the team, right? Can we all agree on that? They're going to bring the infield in. He's not scoring on the ball in the infield. Bader's got to crush the ball to the outfield for it to be a sack fly to score Castellanos.
Yeah, just for him to give him a chance.
Right, like the best case scenario there is not even that great of a scenario. It's one out him on third. You need a hit. I know Bader got one, but they might have walked Bader at that point and tried to set up the double play because they know Bader can't run. Like that it made no sense what he did last night. And then let's listen to Dave Roberts. This is the one that just like it killed me. Because the Dodgers planned for it and wanted it and got what they wanted. Here's Roberts after the game.
Yeah, it was an impromptu play that I just told Mookie, you know Stott's going to bunt. He's a good bunter. And so let's just run a wheel play. And Max, be aggressive, field it. And Mookie, get over there and beat Castellanos there. And, you know, those guys executed it to perfection. It was a lot tougher. They made it look a lot easier than it was. And for me, that was our only chance really to win that game in that moment.
That's the line. That line crushed
me. Made it a lot tougher.
Well, no. He said that was our only chance to win the game. And the Phillies gave it to them. He talked to his infielders. He said, let's run the wheel play. He's going to bunt. This is our only chance to win.
When you look at it's the philosophy is sound. The guy that's on second base isn't the guy that you want there.
Well, but doesn't that make the philosophy not sound?
Well, like it's not the ideal situation
right,
to be in.
Right,
And then the way, like Mookie, to your point, Castellanos looked like he's running.
His feet.
No, because when you watch the play and you see Mookie picking him up and putting him down and you see Castellanos, it's like, almost like his feet are, to your point, he looks heavy.
Yeah.
His feet just look heavy.
He can't run.
Yeah. I get your frustration.
It's just, and listen.
You wish you had somebody, you wish you had a better runner position.
And that's why you can't do it there. There are no outs. Vessi is a wild pitcher. He could have walked two more guys. You could have got Turner and Schwarber to the plate. It's just, they let them off the hook last night. They almost came back, almost got this thing 1-1, and now we're in big trouble.
But then you got to look at Castellanos. If you know you're not that fast, and like they were side to side, they were side by side.
Him and Betts.
Betts. You got to take a little bit more of a lead on that one.
Well, especially when Betts starts going to third, no one's covering second.
Yeah, so you got to go.
Right,
if
Stott doesn't bunt or he takes the pitch, you could just walk back to second without a problem. The whole thing was a disaster, and Topper lost me last night. I can't take him seriously in a big moment. 215-592-9494. I'm done. I'm done with the manager. Kyle, where are you at this morning as the frustration is mounting for all of us?
I'm done with all of them.
Yeah.
Like, nobody should be let off the hook today.
Agreed.
Besides Christopher Sanchez, Jesus Luzardo. Like, those are the only two people who showed up for the Phillies in this series. Like, the real shame of it is that everybody who said all season long and for years now that the lights are too bright for these stars in October, they're being proven right now. What Hugh said about Bedlam in the Bank, like that's an era gone by. Like this team is now defined by how poorly they perform in October as opposed to rising to the moment. So for all the people who said that the bats are just going to go cold in October, they were right. For all the people who said that Rob Thompson is going to cost you a game by his managerial decisions, they were right. For all the people who said that Trey Turner, his defense, is going to cost you a game in the postseason in a critical moment, they were right. Like, everybody who had anything negative to say about this team, they're just being proven right. Like, it's truly a shame because now they've completely, I think, squeezed every last bit of trust out of any fan in the city for them. Like, because we had this up and down season where the team made you believers again. Like, you know, maybe this time will be different. I can't ever picture anybody thinking that about this core of losers again. I know the season's not over. It might as well be. Like, they might as well not even go down to L.A. to play that third game because this team's cooked.
You got to, though.
No, they're
you got
cooked.
Well, I mean, contractually, baseball's going to make them play the game tomorrow. No, but
so
you got one more, man.
You got one more to try to make it.
It's almost not even worth the embarrassment.
It feels like a death march.
It feels like they're walking in for a death march.
You can still come back. You can come back. I mean, it's not feasible. It's not highly likely, but you got to try, man. You got to try.
I mean,
you can't give up. You can't give up. I mean, you can't.
I can.
We're dead inside.
I mean, I'm not.
Right. Well, I feel dead inside this morning. 215.
The game. It's at 9 o'clock.
592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. Your reaction. Look, Kyle's totally right. No one is spared blame today. No one. Who are you the most frustrated with? I mean, the frustrations are flowing on every single level. I mean, the Stars sucked. The defense stinks. The bullpen, not good enough. The manager, the moment gets to him too often. He's just not a big game manager. I'm done. Like I can't do it with the manager anymore. That was cowardly. Cowardly. Let's go to Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Morning, man.
Morning, Chris.
You?
Yes.
With all due respect, take that sunshine and shove it up your backside.
Wait a minute. Why are you mad at me? Uh-huh. What'd I do?
I'm going to add you to the poll. Douglas, to the poll.
I would have been. I'd have ran the third faster than that.
You probably would have.
No. And listen here, sir. I don't need you talking about Jacksonville's win after the Phillies collapsed last night. You know, I was rightfully suspended for talking about a stupid Giants player.
Right.
It's fair. No one cares about the Jaguars.
No, I mean, that was
what
insane.
What I was trying to say is anything is possible.
Again, with all due respect, I don't care about the team that funded your NFL retirement. Okay, so let's move on.
Yeah,
should
we suspend you for a full segment today?
What did I do?
I believe. Here's my suggestion. He deserves a suspension. I suggest 2 weeks. Told you so. Douglas is not allowed in studio. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Wow. We might have to put him behind lock and key because he's unfortunately. I mean, that's why he brought up the Jaguars because he stuck in there. I told you they would win.
An appalling statement.
Well, I did say I told you. I didn't pick him to win though. I was talking about how Kansas City might not make the playoffs.
I don't know what's worse, that or the Duran entrance again last night. Someone's got to read the room better than that.
I couldn't even stomach watching football last night.
I couldn't. Yeah, it was. Who cares?
Awful.
Who gives a crap about the Jaguars? Go ahead, Chris.
Guys, let's break down the most brain-dead decision ever made in Major League Baseball history, and that is having Stop Bunt. Let's analyze the situation here, okay? You got Castellanos on second, no outs, bottom of the ninth, down by one run, and you have all the momentum in the world. The Dodgers are, like, just they're gasping for air. And you have Max Muncy and Freddie Freeman at the corners playing for the bunt, and they are two very savvy veteran defensive players. You have left-handed Stott at the plate versus a left-handed pitcher. The worst thing in the world that can possibly happen is you do what they do. You try the bunt. Kessie's out at third, and now Stott's on first already with one out, and now the double play's in order to end the game. If you were smart and you had any sort of brain activity, brain waves going through your head, you would say, listen, I'm going to let him swing away. Worst case scenario, he gets out. However, he may do that. We don't advance the runner. We still have the tying run at second base with one out.
Yep.
So we still get two more batters at the plate. So the fact that he didn't do that is just, again, shows how just dumb this guy is. And you know what, Rob Zombie? Enjoy this because you are coaching your last series ever in a Phillies uniform. And for all the Zombie fans out there that want to talk about, hey, he's got a good regular season record, I don't care. The man took two top-seeded teams and fell flat on their faces in the very first season to open the postseason. That is a loser. And a loser also talks about, I was playing for the tie. I wasn't trying to win. You know what? The Dodgers aren't playing for ties. They don't want to tie games. They're not happy with ties. They want to win. That's what winner mentality has. And you know what? The guy had a talent-loaded roster, and all he did is fail. So you know what? Here it is. It's not loud. I don't have to gusso for it. But Rob, the zombie Thompson, you are F-I-R-E-D. Fired.
Chris, appreciate the phone call, man. And, you know, even as we was listening to Topper there, talking about how his hands were kind of tied here with the runners and the pinch runners, right, because he has a short roster. Bader was coming up next. He can't run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to crawl before you could walk. It felt like he was planning extra innings before they tied the game. Talking about, well, I need Weston Wilson for Bader because Bader can't play the outfield. Dude, you have to get to extra innings first. Then you figure out where you're going to put the defense out
there.
That's
probably where he was. He missed that because he felt confident in the guys that he had, but they let him down.
Yeah, but his strategy doesn't make sense.
No, like, I mean, I hear you.
If you're going to play for the tie, then you got to get Castellanos, who cannot run, out of the game. Put Wilson in there. You have Marshawn on the bench. I'll play with one catch the rest of the game. Also, talking about don't have an extra outfielders, Kyle Schwarber could run into the outfield if you need him to. Lose the DH in extra innings. Bryce Harper. Like, you can figure out nine people on the field. You need the run. The run is the most important thing there. It just, for a guy that's been in baseball for as long as Rob Thompson, it was, I was blown away that he did that. And then to say after the game we're playing for the tie just made me sick. Barry in Delaware. What's up, Barry?
Barry.
Yeah, boss. How are you?
What's up, Barry?
All right. Two things here. Mr. Douglas, thank you last week to put A.J. Brown on his place because he's so irresponsible and a spoiled child. Thank you for that.
Well,
thank you. Thank you, Barry.
Yeah, the reason why this game, and Mr. Douglas, here is where I disagree with you. You think the Dodgers would let the Phillies go over there and win one game? That's not going to happen. This season is over. And I agree with Mr. Giglio. The 50% of this losing series went to the manager. How on earth? You have all the chances. You have the slowest sloth, Cassiano, on the field. And you are going to bunt the ball? First of all, you're not playing baseball for the future. You're playing for the advantage that you have right now. Okay? Go kill the guys and get a win. Why are you playing for a tie? That is the worst thing that I've never seen in my life. And guys, please, let's don't let the so-called superstar off the hook. I mean, two games? How many hits this guy? The swab at the stop?
None.
You know, 40%, in my opinion, goes to them too.
Yes.
They contributed to lose. They have all the chances. Base loaded, they come out, they just keep striking them out from game one to game two. And we expect them to go over there and pull one game? No, trust me. The Dodgers, this is exactly what they wanted. And we just give it to them. That's it. Game two was literally handed to them by the coach. So, and the money, and the owners, they just have an excuse right now, a good excuse, which in my opinion, to fire this manager. Because this guy is not good in the postseason. We can win 1,000 games, you know, in the regular season, but the postseason is what counts. And 2-3 weeks ago, I told the weekend show, I said, please, let's hold our eggs down. Let's wait to the postseason. They're going to kill us by the play calls and the superstars. They will come cold. And everybody thought I was crazy.
Well, Barry, you're not crazy. Barry, you're not. Barry, it's exactly what's happened here. You are dead right about all of it. Barry's becoming, he's rising up my list of favorite calls. Barry brings it every single time. All right, today is your dead event. Nobody's off the hook. Rob Thompson, brutal. I mean, brutal. And I'm telling you right now, as I sit here today on October 7th, Rob Thompson's not my manager next year. I can't do it. I can't, if I'm Dave Dombrowski in Middleton, I can't sit up there and try to sell this again next year. Not what I saw last night. Thompson is in the crosshairs today. The bullpen, not good again. The defense, including Trey, terrible. And the money guys in the lineup, 2-for-21, 11 strikeouts, 0 extra base hits. It's open season on everyone. Phillies are down 0-2. Your date event, 215-592-9494. Speaking of the stars, we'll hear from them all next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This song's for Hugh, the first segment there.
What I do?
What do you mean, what do you do?
Being optimistic? I mean, what are you going to do? We got another game to play.
Yeah.
What, we going to just go out there and just throw your jersey out and say, hey, man, we
might
quit?
As well.
No. You're going to fight the good fight.
It is tough to feel optimism this morning. Yeah. I mean, it is tough.
No, I mean, I get that. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a dummy.
That was gut-wrenching last
night. But
what
night. Are you going to do?
Well, we'll pick ourselves up by 9:08 tomorrow, but right now I feel like crap.
Oh, so it's the timing. I ain't got time. I ain't got time for that. I ain't got time to feel sorry.
Hugh's going to be long asleep.
No, and we have 4 hours to feel sorry for ourselves and angry. I mean,
I don't appreciate you turning this into a personal thing, talking about my sleep habits.
you people's one step ahead of me.
All right, 215-592-9494. A disaster of a baseball game for the Phillies last night, and it really shouldn't have been. Luzardo was.
Phenomenal.
He was special. I mean, Hugh brought up the stat in the first segment there. The last time a Philly starter retired that many in a row, his name was Roy Halladay.
Roy Halladay, what, 2011? The NLDS.
Man, Luzardo was everything we hoped he could be last night. Big game pitcher, energized off the crowd. He was getting swings and misses from great. I never seen Freddie Freeman look that bad on a swing as he did against Luzardo, but the Phillies' offense did nothing. Big issue, of course, the Stars, 2-for-21 between Turner and Schwarber and Harper in this series. 0 extra base hits, 11 strikeouts. Let's go to the phone lines here. What's frustrating the most between the defense, which was obviously bad by Trey and Castellanos, the base running, the managing, the Stars, and the offense? Where are you at? 215-592-9494. We'll let you hear from Turner, Schwarber, Harper coming up in just a few minutes. Tom is in Sicklerville. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, what's
Tom,
up?
Tom, all right. We're trying to get through.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but I called yesterday and I said once the first lineup was revealed, I knew it was hopeless.
You did.
Yeah,
I remember
did say that.
Heavily ridiculed because all I wanted was Bader to hit second and mix up those set.
Before I'll let you finish. Bader wasn't healthy enough to start last night, so that wasn't even an option.
I'm talking back to the first
game. Right.
As soon as that lineup was revealed with the same old crap that Topper's marching out, and especially now he's just marching out Nola. This is ridiculous. I mean, he's just afraid to, you know, use a little original thinking. He plays, you know, like he said last night, he played for the tie. Ridiculous. I mean, did you remember Sunday when the Denver Broncos beat the Eagles because they played to win because they went for a 2-point conversion? I mean, it's obvious what you have to do in sports. So I'm very disappointed. I am glad about Castellano. One thing I learned, when he made his double, did he swing his home run swing or did he swing to hit the ball?
Well, it was to hit the ball. I mean, to be fair, the ball was 7 inches outside, so I don't know if he could hit a home run on that pitch. But, yeah, he just kind of dropped his bat and tried to get a hit.
Exactly, and that's what our other home run hitters won't do. They just fan the thing, and if the ball happens to hit the bat, great. And if not, it's a swing and a miss. So I really respect Castellano a lot. And, he played great last year, too, and I just appreciate him. But good luck to the Phils, but I'm not very optimistic.
Yeah, Tom, you're not the only one. And they're going to need it, obviously, going back to L.A. for game number 3 tomorrow night. Yeah, I mean, as far as the Bader thing, I know Tom brought that up yesterday. I get it. That was his opinion for game 1. All right, I disagreed. But it wasn't a possibility last night, right? Bader was not healthy enough to start in the game, and he obviously had to come out as soon as he got the single in the ninth. He couldn't even run. So it is what it is. I mean, they're going to roll with their top 3 guys. They've paid these guys $700 million to hit, and they haven't hit. Let's hear from them after the game last night. What order do we want to go in? Want to hear from Trey Turner first? Let's hear Trey Turner on his defense. 7th inning. At first when I watched it, I was like, that was a tough play. And then as I rewatched it, I'm like, wait a second. Hernandez is 40 feet from home plate when Trey Turner gets the ball. He has to make a better throw to home. He pulled JT all the way to almost the first base side of home plate, and Teoscar was able to get his foot down. Let's hear Trey Turner on the defense.
You throw home, did you kind of pull that up to a little bit? I guess more to third base side.
Yeah, it was kind of the angle. I was kind of running over the mound and had to throw it overhand. I wish I could have thrown it a little more sidearm. But the angle of like going towards the first baseline kind of forced me to throw it overhand, pulled it a little bit. But that's the difference. Those small things are difference in games like this.
Hugh, that he said it at the end. He's right. Small things are the difference. And the Phillies always seem to do the small things worse than the other team in these big moments.
Yeah. And you gotta button up. It feels to me like as the game went on, and, we start running out of innings, that's when they started to get tight, and that's when the problems started to happen. It's almost like the book was, hey, man, if you get this team in a situation where they're starting to press a little bit.
They'll fold.
Exactly. That's what it kind of looked like, because you talk about seven stellar innings of some pretty solid baseball being played. And it felt like, the Dodgers knew that, hey, man, they're not built for nine. And they're gonna fold when it comes time.
You know what it felt like last night watching those two? One team is good, one team are champions. Like the Dodgers, the wheel play in the ninth inning, Mookie calling for it, Freeman with the hit in the seventh, the base running, the defense, they're champions. And the Phillies aren't. Like that this group, they're not championship group.
Something to be said about having the deer in your headlights in some of the biggest moments. I mean, I know Bryce has had some big moments.
Not lately.
But man, yeah. And you know what's funny? Because immediately after the game, I go to social media just to get a feel, to take the temperature of the people. And there were a lot of people out there initially defending Bryce, talking about his postseason numbers and everything like that. Man, I looked at some of the dates on some of that stuff. I mean, it's kind of getting dated. It's a little dated.
Well,
a little antiquated.
Yeah, look, he obviously has a good postseason resume in total. But the bottom line is, and Hugh, you always say this about Bryce. We'll hear from him in a second here. His career, it's getting late in his career, and he has not won, right? Like, that's the truth about Bryce Harper. And I think he would agree with this. His career is going to be incomplete without a ring. And as time goes on, it's getting harder to imagine he's going to have a ring when his career is over. Let's hear from Bryce last night. He had his chance in the sixth inning. Snell was tiring a little bit. They had two runners on. Good at-bats by Trey and Schwarber to get walks and get on base there. And up comes Bryce Harper against a tiring starter, and he did not deliver. Here's Bryce after the game.
Bryce, your guy's pressing.
Excuse me?
Pressing. Just knock on. Our guy's pressing.
No, I wouldn't say we're pressing. I mean, I think, like I said, we're missing pitches over the plate. They're making good pitches when they need to, and that's kind of how baseball works sometimes. Obviously, we got to do a better job and, got to dig deep, next couple days and, get ready to go in L.A.
So he made a point there. They're missing pitches over the plate. He's right. Like in years past, it's felt like they're chasing, right? They're swinging at bad pitches. The last couple days, Ohtani and Snell have come right after them. These pitchers are over the plate, and they're just missing.
No, I was listening. I was trying to – I was –
the cut was over.
No, I was listening. I was thinking about what he was saying and about missing pitches and whatnot. Because the last time we were in this situation – it was more chasing.
Yes, they were swinging at bad pitches.
Yeah, they were chasing at bad pitches. Now it just seems like they've done what I was thinking was they've went the other way a little bit too much, and they're taking too many pitches. But the bottom line is this: your top guys, they have to step up in this moment. They have to, because this has been too many seasons, too many postseasons, where the stat line looks the same. Every postseason, the stat line looks the same, and you're talking about the run base title king or whatever, the at bat title king. You're talking about Trey,
batting king, batting champion. Yeah.
You're talking about Bryce Harper and the all the cachet that he brings, and Kyle Schwarber, 56 homes runs this year.
Let's not let Schwarber off the hook. Schwarber this season was their best guy, right? And so far he's done nothing, and he's actually had a kind of an odd track record. Because you look at his postseason numbers in his career, he has tons of home runs, right?
But stinks in the NLDS.
He stinks. You read my mind. Like usually he gets going, right? LCS, World Series, his numbers are off the charts. But Kyle, we need to get there first, and we could use a home run or two in this round to get to the next round. Here's Schwarber after the game.
You feel like that. You want to get something going. You want to get anything going. And For me, it just, I didn't come through in that spot. So, I can look at myself in the mirror and say that, I want to be better. I'm going to be better. I'm looking forward to getting out there. I'm looking forward to I'm not going to press an issue. I'm not going to go out of my skin and feel like I'm going to reach for the sky. I got to go back to, there's no, it's not like we're trying hard, right? It's just the way it is right now. And at the end of the day, knowing the fact that, I always say this, that, if you don't force an issue, don't press an issue, that, if you're trying so hard, that it's probably not going to work out in your favor. You got to realize, and you have to go back to knowing that everyone is, everyone doing their job, and everyone going up there and being them is really good, because that's how we got here in the first place. And, most of the times, if you go ask anyone, if they go out there and they try to do something, the most extreme thing, probably doesn't work out in their favor.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Feels like he's trying to talk himself into this. I mean, what was that? Was that a sports psychologist or was that a baseball player? Like, what was
well,
that?
Well, I mean, you're having a come to Jesus moment.
With himself. He's talking to himself.
But I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that because he has to workshop this. You have to figure out and put yourself in the best possible position you can be in, because you got one more game to play. That's the reality of this. I know everybody's upset and whatnot.
Let's be clear. It's going to be one more.
I mean, not necessarily. I mean, listen. I know that this is a tough row to hoe, no question about it. But, man, it starts with that one hit. It starts with one, and then it snowballs into something else. LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers were down to the Golden State Warriors. What was it? They were looking at elimination,
they're
right?
Down 3-1.
And they fought back, and they won that.
Do we know the difference?
Aaron Nola,
LeBron James.
Aaron Nola.
One of the two greatest LeBron basketball players James. Ever lived. Six ERA Aaron Nola.
And some would argue that Kyrie Irving was the catalyst for all of that to happen. That's what I'm trying to say.
We don't even have that. Kyrie. I mean,
why are you and Kyle poo-pooing on my story, man? The bottom line is this is not over. That's the premise that I'm trying to get you two yahoos to see.
Whoa.
Name calling at what, 1042?
You're the one blowing smoke up, glutes.
I know.
I'm not blowing smoke.
We're the crazy ones.
Okay, I never said I wasn't crazy. But you can't quit. You can't give up.
Bless your heart, Hugh.
Not
live
quitting,
your truth.
But I'm pissed at them. There's a difference.
I hate when you do it. When you do it, I just don't like that.
Well, good. Turn it back on you. All right, let's.
I don't like it. I hate it.
I'm gonna take. Can I get a sip of water before this call? Yeah, Bruce in Collegeville wants to talk about Rob Thompson. What's up, Bruce?
I got 2 points I'd like to make, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hey, how you doing?
We've been better, Bruce, but we're hanging in there.
Yeah, I hear you. I about had a heart attack again last night. But
you mean for real, or
two
like,
main
you
points
playing?
Are.
You playing, right?
No, I don't know. Go ahead, Bruce.
My first point is agreeing with you that these guys got to be doing something. They're pressing too hard. They're just not getting worth their pay. And in my mind, you guys are pointing on with that. They're just pressing too hard. My second point being that as far as the guy that said about get firing Thompson.
Yes.
I think he's smoking crack.
Why?
I think you got
hold
a guy,
on, why? Bruce.
Well, you got a guy who's brought you to the curtain.
Oh, stop.
How many times, how many teams are going to die to get him?
None. Bruce, none. I like Rob Thompson. Not a single team in baseball will die to get Rob Thompson. Bruce, can you tell me what strategic advantage Rob Thompson gives the Phillies in the dugout?
He knows how to bring the team together.
Strategic baseball strategy. The playoffs are not about bringing teams together. This isn't Little League. This is not the Bad News Bears. This is baseball. This is the highest level of baseball. Can you tell me the strategy he brings to the game that gives the Phillies an advantage in big moments?
Got to admit, there's probably not much.
Okay. Well, that's the
that's
end.
That's good.
Then who's running? Who's tripping over themselves to hire him?
Well, I think that a lot of teams look at the chemistry that he's brought together, the egos that he's had to massage, and they see how well he can run that dugout. But strategically, you're absolutely correct. He's missing the point.
Well, and Bruce, I appreciate the call and the back and forth. Then he's a regular season manager. But what Bruce just described, and Topper obviously does bring some good things to the table, and he did a good job in the regular season. He's a regular season manager. How many times do we have to do this where he has a bad moment in October before we realize this is not his, he's not built for this? It was Houston in 22. It was the Rojas letting him hit in 23. It was Kimbrel in 23. It was game one with the bullpen management with Robertson. It was last night. Like, Hugh, how many times do we have to do the same thing where I know it's not all his fault, but he doesn't help. He doesn't help.
Yeah, and I know where you're going, but it's hard for me to point all the fingers at him when I look at those stat lines from the last three seasons that I was here.
Totally fair.
And I look at the number one guys on this squad, that are hitting all the home runs, knocking the cover off the ball in the regular season, and put it all on him.
I'm not saying that it's all on Topper. But you know how this works. The easiest thing to change
to do is
him.
That. Yeah, I get it.
Like, and Bryce and Turner are going to be here.
You're right. But when I look at that stat line, man, and I look at, like, we always talk about the bottom of the order, you know, and things like that. Those guys were scuffing and clawing.
Yeah.
They were scuffing and clawing. The guys that you, like, you talk about, hey, we need Bryce. You didn't get half of what you expected to get from him so far. You just didn't. And Schwarber, you know, you talk about what he was before this postseason started. He's been non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk about, like, Trey. I mean, he had a hit last night, but when you talk about to go back out there to see how your body feels and things like that, those are the guys that have to carry this.
So, and you're right, Trey had a hit. But he did have the bat in his hand to end the game. Like, Trey Turner was up to end the game. They brought Sasaki in. Like, Trey could have had his signature Phillies moment last night if he hits one into the gap or down the line to win the game. And, again, he credit to get the run in the eighth inning and kind of start the comeback a little bit. But Trey Turner is a 300 – I feel like I'm on a broken record every October. He's a $300 million player, and I never feel like I'm watching one in the big moment. Last night, the ball came to him in the seventh inning, and he threw the ball to the wrong side of the plate. He was up in the ninth inning with two outs to try to win the game. Weak ground ball to second base. Their guy's Mookie Betts, and Mookie Betts is a better player. Let's go to Steve in Bridgeton. What's up, Steve?
Joe Hugh, what's up, guys?
Hey, Steve.
What's up, man?
Man, I'm so frustrated. I was watching the game. If I was there, I wanted to grab Topper and say, what are you doing? Cassidy on third, second base with nobody else. You got to let Stott swing away there. I trust him against the lefty. He's probably one of the best disciplined hitters, maybe, at best. But putting that bunt down, you're going to tell me that Cassidy didn't see Betts run in front of him or his shadow? Like, come on.
Yeah, and Steve, before you go on, I'm with you, and I trust him to have a good at-bat there. Vesey is also a wild pitcher. That first pitch was high. It was one ball, yeah, no strikes. There's a real chance he walks Stott there.
But he wasn't getting a fastball. It was a slider that he got the bunt on. A slider. So it would have been impossible for him to pull that ball down the first baseline.
Yeah.
Impossible. So you see them running in. If you let Stott swing away, someone's going to hit in the face with the ball. So you got to let Stott swing away there. And at best, if he got the bunt down, Cassidy shouldn't have been running. If you got to see Betts' shadow and hold. Like, and then if you get the bunt down, maybe Stott beats it out at first base. Who knows? But you don't bunt there. That's terrible. That killed the momentum. And also, I'm going to go back into the sixth inning when we had what was it? First and second, one out, Harper up.
Mm-hmm.
What was Harper saying? That was a ball three, slider off the plate. What are you doing? I love Harper. I love this team. hard out every year. But look, something's got to change. And then when they went back after the seventh, right, because Lizardo was on cruise control. He only gave up one hit. He was on cruise control. And then they didn't get no runs. That long wait shifted the momentum right back to the Dodgers. And then another point, if you wanted to have Stott bunt, this is where I wish they had Stubbs on the roster. Stubbs could have pinch ran for
Castellanos.
Yep.
Stubbs would have beat Betts to the bag easily.
Steve, it's a good point, and this is not just Topper. This is Dombrowski, Steve.
I got another point.
Okay, I'll let you go. But it is a good point. It kind of goes back to the roster construction. They took a lot of pitchers on the roster in a 5-game series with three off days. Did they really need Taijuan Walker and Tim Mayza on this pitching staff? They have all these pitchers they're not using. Meanwhile, the bench is short. Now, obviously, they got caught up with this Bader injury now, right, Hugh? That made it worse.
Yeah.
So he wanted to save Wilson to run for Bader. But if they have an extra position player, let's just use Stubbs for an example, he could have run for Castellanos there.
Yeah. I mean, because what's stuck in my head is the on second base, and you're right, you're toe-to-toe with Mookie Betts, and you got to put yourself in a better position to have success.
Yeah, it's a bad combination, moment. Steve, that Castellanos is a slow runner and a bad base runner. It's not a good combination.
And another issue. Look, if I want to see them have that 2004 Red Sox mentality, like, hey, don't let us win this. But if they don't, I'm sorry, I'm cleaning house. I like Topper, but he's got to go. Bring in somebody with a bulldog mentality to fire up that clubhouse every single night. Every coach can go except for Caleb Cotham. Kevin Long, got to go. We got to bring in somebody that'll teach these guys plate discipline. That is what is killing them right now, plate discipline. I've said it before the playoffs started. I said it all season. Plate discipline. Stop swinging and chasing at pitches off the plate.
Yeah, and they do it. I don't think it's been, to Steve, we appreciate the call. I don't think it's been as bad, the plates discipline stuff in this series as others, but it's not good. I mean, and he's right about the Harper at bat against Snell. That was a big moment, Hugh, for Bryce Harper. Sixth inning, two on, one out. I also thought it was a tell that I know Bohm's been okay in the series. They don't really respect Bohm. They left Snell in there, tiring, a lefty against a righty, and he got him out too. I mean, the frustrating part of these first two games is they've had plenty of opportunities. It's like if they had gotten blown out, what are we going to do? We just shrug our shoulders and say Dodgers are the super team. They're better.
Mm-hmm. You had a chance.
Plenty of chances.
And here's the thing that sticks out to me is that it feels like when the games are tight like this, that's when the fundamentals go out the door.
Yeah.
It's like that's when you lose your fundamentally sound play because, to your point, you talk about Trey. A lot of the times when his fundamentals are flawed is when the game usually feels like it's tight.
Yep.
When you go back and you think about it, that's when the game usually, when it comes down to those last couple of innings, that's when, you know, it just gets wiry, it gets squirrely. And I think that's part of the problem. They get tight. They get tight down the stretch. If they're not scoring runs or the game isn't decided early, they get a little tight.
And these games are all tight. It's the playoffs. Yeah. That's why the Dodgers are the Dodgers right now and the Phillies are the Phillies. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard on, I don't even know what day it is. Is it Tuesday?
It feels like a Tuesday.
I don't even know what day. It's a weird week. We got a game three tomorrow. It feels like a death march out to L.A. Got optimistic Douglas over here telling me things.
Because you got one more game. Yeah. I know somebody just asked me, Terry just asked me, say, what makes you think they're going to win out of all the postseasons that you've seen? Like, to be honest, nothing. But you got one more game.
Well, that's good.
Well, no, it's like.
What do you got?
No,
nothing.
The question
that's
was.
What, I feel a lot better.
Are y'all going to let me finish? No, but the question was asked, what do you think? What have you seen that makes you think they're going to win?
Yeah.
Nothing. But you got one more game and you got to play it. So I don't see them rolling over and giving up.
So where does your confidence come from? Well, honestly, nowhere.
It doesn't. But I'm like, hell, I got to go back. Like, I got to take this trip out there. I got to at least make it worth my while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I got to put forth an effort. I got to go out there and let them, what the kids say, let them hang. Just let them hang.
All you have is because they have to go to L.A.
I mean, you have to play it. I mean, sometimes that's all you need. Sometimes that's all you need. To get the thing going.
Well, good luck. We have Aaron Nola on the mound tomorrow night, so
that should
do the trick. All right, Devin's going to join us next, as she does every Tuesday, and we'll continue to let you vent. 215-592-9494 as we react to a disastrous game last night for Topper, for the Stars, for the defense, and for this series. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.